Before we get into the heart, the meat of this epistle lesson, we need to set the table early so that we get the fullness of what is going on here. Now, some of you may be aware of the fact that 1st and 2nd Corinthians is actually a compilation of at least four separate letters that St. Paul sent to the church at Corinth. This was, without a doubt, probably his favorite place in terms of his ministry. He had spent a year and a half in Corinth itself, planting that church, developing it, calling forth its leaders and eliciting other disciples to come and join him in this mutual ministry that he carried out there. And he carried a burden for that church the rest of his life. As a matter of fact, he made a couple of other trips, we believe, there, according to the Acts of the Apostles. And as it was, he carried great concern in his heart always for those people. Now, Corinth itself is a rather peculiar place in that age. It was located on an isthmus there, and it was very unique because over on the west end of things, there was a port. And then over on the east side, there was also a port. And so, in essence, Corinth was the crossroads of that ancient world, east and west. It was the connecting place for all commerce that went between all these places within the great Roman Empire. And so it held a very important location. And from it, we have to believe, and archaeologists tell us, that from it then was birthed a number of those early churches that eventually led to the spread of the gospel throughout that center part of that ancient world. Now, you would think if you had somebody like Paul as your pastor that you would be on top of your game all the time, wouldn't you? Yeah, I mean, that would be your anticipation. Oh boy, would you be wrong. No such luck at all. As a matter of fact, after Paul leaves, and in accordance with the second letter he writes to them and some of the other stuff in the third letter, we find out that this people, the church, reverted back into the way of the world of that time. Now, what was that world? Well, it was one of the most pagan places in all the world. They had an altar, they had a temple, they had this, they had that, and all this other array for just about every god that could be imagined. And some of the people were caught up in that idolatry. It was also a very corrupt place morally. And sexual licentiousness and immorality reigned throughout that city. And it became something that was being practiced then by members of that church openly. They even had an anti-clergy organization within it. And we still got it, yes. Oh, we know. We got the names. No, never mind. We're not going to go there. But there was all kinds of disruption and factions and people when they didn't like what somebody else in the church was doing and you couldn't get your way, they resorted to the civil courts and they sued one another. That should sound familiar to all Episcopalians. We've been doing a lot of that of late, or the last 20, 30 years. All of this stuff was contrary to what they had been taught by Paul. At one point, even Paul was scared that one of his disciples and fellow pastors had been killed by members of the congregation because he disappeared for a while. That is just how corrupt that place had gotten. And so Paul finds himself again and again and again encountering this group of Christian people, or church members. Let's just say church members. Take Christian out of it for a moment, because Christianity had departed. And they were living a very different kind of a way. Now, into this, Paul writes to them. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come. Well, wow. Somehow or another, they had lost their way. And they had started adopting the world instead of allowing God and the Holy Spirit to be in control of them and to make them that new creation they were supposed to be. And why was that so important? Because of what I read to you at the very beginning. Because you and I, are told that we are supposed to be ambassadors for God in Christ. Now think with me for just a minute. How are people going to want to be part of our gospel if we're living unto the world? If all they see and hear is the bickering, the arguments, and all the other things that goes on inside of churches, how is it that anybody's going to want to be part of such an organization? They're not. To be an ambassador for the world is not going to grow the body of Christ. Can we not get an amen on that one? A few, okay. I wish all of you said a loud amen on that one. Anyway. But the fact of the matter is, we are to be ambassadors for Christ. And how can we do it if all the world sees is the world in us? You see, when we become a new creature in Christ, the way we think is supposed to change. The things that we value are supposed to change. The whole approach that we make to life is supposed to change. Why? Because even the people that disagree with us, and we disagree with, even the people whom we've never met before, are of absolute sacred worth. Jesus died for them and rose again that all might have eternal life. I read that somewhere. Everyone. And that's why we are supposed to be ambassadors, because we are supposed to be reaching out to all of that. And we can't do it if we're living unto the world. If we're not new creatures in Christ. There's a wonderful cartoon. And by the way, I love cartoons. And some of you are kind enough to sit to private message some of them to me. And some of you just post it on the Facebook and I see them and things. But one of my favorites of all times is Hagar the Horrible. And I think probably one of the reasons I really like it so much is because, you know, there's a monk in it. You know, and being a Franciscan, I'm really sensitive to all of that. And this one particular one, the first frame, the monk is talking to Hagar. And he's telling him how he's supposed to be doing things better than what he is, and he's supposed to be living unto the light, and how he's supposed to be presenting the light to the lost in the world. But in the next frame, the monk is walking off into the horizon, and there stands Hagar. He's watching the monk walk away, and he says, "But I like the darkness. I like the darkness." That is what had happened to the Corinthians. They believed that compromise was the answer. To compromise the gospel. and to turn away from Christ. And sadly, way too often in the church today, we act in the same manner. We bicker, we fight, we indulge the world, we even sue each other. Paul tells us to be reconciled with God, to become a new creature in Christ. And why? Because we are his ambassadors. And here in this, the fourth Sunday of Lent, in the season when we are supposed to be doing true examination of ourselves and our lives and our purposes and all the things we say and think and do, it's critically important for us in this season as we get ready for Easter to re-examine ourselves, the words that we speak, the things that we say we believe, the way that we practice our faith. Why? As reconciled creatures to Christ, to be an ambassador to the lost of the world. Pure and simple. Amen. To God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.